John. Now, it is a Mothering Sunday, but this is not going to be a very Mothering Sunday-ish sermon. Claire was going to be preaching at our all-age service today. We had great things planned, but they will have to go into the cupboard and be brought out another time. Claire has turned her sermon into a short written reflection, which I commend to you. It's going to be posted on our website at www.standrewsstapleford.org. Do read it there. For now, I thought we could usefully look at another reading, the beginning of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. If you've got a service sheet, it's on there. Or if you click on the link on the web page just above this video, you should open the reading in a second window. Or how about this for radical? You could just grab a Bible. 2 Corinthians is easy to find. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, Acts and Romans, follow on. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, there you are. Now, my guess is that 2 Corinthians is perhaps the most widely quoted book of the Bible. Turn to the last chapter, and at the end you'll see why I say that. There, right there at the very end, is the grace. May the grace, and so on. And it's grace that I want to start with, because it is there in Paul's greeting in verse 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Greeks wrote letters, they would start apparently by wishing each other joy. The Greek word is chara. Forgive my pronunciation, please don't write in about it. Chara, ending with an A. Paul tweaks that conventional greeting, changes the ending from A to IS, and so we have charis, the Greek word for grace. It's a very neat way of catching his listeners' attention and quite deliberate. And as we have seen, he puts the grace of God right at the beginning and at the end of this book. So 2 Corinthians is a grace sandwich, if you like, filled with goodies, but wrapped in the grace of God on both sides. So what is this grace? One way people sometimes think of it is as unmerited favour, the unmerited favour of God. Favour, care, goodwill, a gift, all those meanings are in there. The point is not that joy, the conventional greeting, is not important in the Christian life. Of course it is, part of the fruit of the Spirit, as you know. But absent the grace of God, everything about the Christian life falls apart. In fact, the Christian life simply doesn't exist without God's grace. So that's how Paul starts. He wishes us God's grace, God's favour, which we haven't earned. And he also wishes us peace, the traditional Jewish greeting, shalom. He's writing to both his Hellenistic and Jewish audiences at the same time and drawing all together under the grace and peace of God. Grace and peace are underpinning everything that follows, everything that Paul is going to go on and tell us about the Christian life. So let's go on with him to the next section, verses 3-7. This is great stuff for troubled times. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is, so says Paul, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. That's lovely, isn't it? What is at stake here is what, or rather who, we should turn to in a crisis. What do you cling to? An awful lot of people seem to be clinging onto toilet roll, which seems really odd if you've read anything about the symptoms of coronavirus. Paul is reminding us not to cling on to a thing, but onto a person, to cling on to God in all our troubles, for he and he alone is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Let him comfort you in these troubled times. Now, before we go on, a word of caution. There is nothing in this letter and I mean nothing, that suggests that suffering is a good thing in itself. Paul is not a masochist, and neither should we be. Any talk of this outbreak being a good thing, I've heard some of that, is just cruel idiocy. And any talk of it being some sort of judgment is likewise cruel and idiotic. But we all know that good things can come out of bad. Bad things are bad, but the way we react to them can be good and can bring good, and that will happen if we keep the right perspective. So, go back to our verse 4. God, from whom grace and peace flow, comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Turn to God, receive his comfort, put our own comfort to use in comforting others. It's God's economy. He was doing handouts on a monster scale way before the Chancellor got there. God gives so that we in turn might give. Now, being a Christian does not silence all questions. Why is all this happening? Why should people suffer? All those kinds of things are well worth pondering. But for today, in this reading, what we see is the intensely practical outworking of faith. It's a practical outworking that Paul himself prioritizes, even though the danger he had been in seems to have been really great. Did you notice that passage from verse 8? Take a look. Troubles, he says, under great pressure, far beyond his ability to endure, despairing even of life itself, feeling as though they had received a sentence of death. Does any of that ring any bells? Don't ever let anyone tell you that the Bible is boring or irrelevant. It is bang on for our situation here and now. A question we might ask is what underpins everything that Paul says. Underlying the comfort that Paul himself received and that he now offers is the suffering of Christ himself. Paul pictures Christians who suffer as sharing in the sufferings of Christ. It's there in our verse 5. And pops up again by inference in the reference to the sentence of death in verse 9, the deliverance from death from deadly peril in verse 10, and the hope of deliverance later in the same verse. Paul sees us, I think, as on the same course as Christ. Now, when we think of Good Friday, and we're not far away, that is not exactly comforting. But think ahead to Easter Sunday, and it really is. Yes, many are suffering now, but, says Paul, take an eternal perspective, for we are sharing in the sufferings of Christ no less. God will deliver us from all our troubles, one way or another. The sufferings of Christ led to the cross, but also to the triumph over all that is bad and evil, as he burst forth from death. There is comfort in the grace and peace of God in the here and now, and that comfort is not derived from blinkered hopefulness, but on the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Paul says, on him, that is, on the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who raised him from the dead, we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. So, as we go into week one, towards the end of week one of our partial shutdown, I can hardly believe that it is only week one. Open yourself to receive the grace and peace of God. Be comforted in order to comfort. Remember the sufferings of Christ for us and know that we share in that suffering. Endure patiently and know, absolutely know, that your deliverance is secure.